We have a relatively short, straightforward Gemara today. We're on Mem Gimel and Aleph. About one third of the way down. Gemara says, the Isim and the Torah we're blaming on that there is Lulav outside Beis HaMikdash. How do you know? About one third of the way down. The first word of the line is Mina. My Gemara have a little period after that. So it says Mina, period, the Isim, Mina, Torah, Begvulin, Mina. How do you know the Isay that there is from the Torah, Begvulin, which means outside the Beis HaMikdash, Minalan, from where? Zan, as you learn, a Breisil, Kachtem, it's quoting a Pasuk, but the Pasuk is going to be broken up into all of its different words, phrases over here. The Pasuk, of course, is Lekachtem, Lachem, Beyoim, Harishoin, that you should take for yourselves on the first day, and then it lists the Arba Minim. So Lekachtem, why does it say Ulekachtem? What did that teach you? That everyone has to take his own individually. He can't. There's not one collective action or anything like that. It's not like Bezin gets together and shakes the lulav. Why in the world would you think that Bezin could shake one lulav for all of Klal Yisrael? So we mentioned this in the past when we saw this drasha, that maybe because it has elements of kapara, it has elements of preventing bad precipitation and whatnot, maybe this is something that Sanhedrin should do for all of Klal Yisrael. No, everyone has to have their own. Then it says, "V'lekachtem lochem." You have to take for you. What does lochem add? Misha lochem, that it has to be yours. Lahoitzi is a shol es a gazul, which excludes both borrowed or stolen. But it says, "Lekachtem lochem bayoyim arishon." Bayoyim afilu v'shabbos. That bayoyim includes every single day, even if that day turns out to be Shabbos. Because it's interesting, why does it have to say bayoyim? V'lekachtem lachem barishoyim, on the first day of Yom Tov. What's bayoyim arishoyim? On the day of the first, as opposed to what? Perhaps, so that's going to be the next question we're going to see. That all depends on how you learn yoyim and what yoyim refers to. That's basically the rest of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, at this point, this opinion holds that bayoyim means whatever day it happens to be. Every day. Even if it's Shabbos. L'kach lechem bayoyim harishoyim. So rishoyim without a hay means afilu begevulin. It doesn't say l'kach lechem bayoyim harishoyim b'mikdash. It just says it's on the day. Like, there's no specifications. Meaning everywhere. So it doesn't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash. It means even in the Gvulin, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. How come it has a hey? We have harishain. Because hey, what does hey mean in Hebrew?
It means like
the. Which means, we call it a hey ha-yidiyah. It means this specific one. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to some other one. So it should have... Okay, very good. But for our purposes right now, so what's the harishon? Harishon means this particular first day, as opposed to another first day.
Not the first of the week, but the first of holiday.
But still could have said barishon. What's bayom harishon?
Bayom rishon would mean on Sunday. Bayom harishon.
If it was referring to the days of the week.
Yeah, but you would... No, because you wouldn't be able to tell.
What do you mean?
Let's say it's called Kachtem Lachem Bayom Rishon. Mm-hmm. And if we take this on Sunday,
right? Okay, that's fair.
Shows us that on the first day of the holidays that we're talking about.
Right. So we should take out a chumash and see the context. We're talking about the sukkah, and we're talking about lulav, and it becomes clear we're talking about the 7 days of the holidays, the only time you have the mitzvah. So we would expect it means the first day of the holiday, as opposed to maybe the first day of the week, which would be legit to consider. So the Gemara says it definitely refers to the first day of Sukkot. The question is, why does it have to say Bayom HaRishon instead of just Bayom Rishon? And so the Gemara always says, whenever there's a Hey Yediyah, that's just grammatics, that it means that one as opposed to a different one.
What would be the other one?
So that's what the Gemara wants to know. The only time you take lulav when it's Shabbos is when it's Yom HaRishon. But if there's another day that happens to be Shabbos, then you do not take the lulav on that day. It's only b'yom harishon when that first day is Shabbos. Okay, so that's the first limud that the Gemara has. This is all to show, how do you know that you have to take the lulav outside Beis HaMikdash on the first day of Sukkot? The answer is because it doesn't say you do it in the Beis HaMikdash. That's really the answer. But in order to get to all of that, so he gave us a whole bunch of drushes on the pasuk. So now that we've discovered this, we also discover that it says Bayoim HaRishon, Bayoim, this particular Bryce interpreted it to mean on the day, even if it's Shabbos. And as Shlomo pointed out, what do you mean? Bayoim usually means in the daytime and not at night. So what happened over here? Okay, so Gemara Zomar Mar. Bayoim, when it uses the word Bayoim in the pasuk, Vafilu b'Shabbos. We said it meant even if that day happens to be Shabbos. Michti let us see, or how could that be? Tiltol ba'almahu. You are arguing, this verse is arguing, that the Torah went out of its way to tell us you would have thought that you don't take the lulav on Shabbos. And I, the Lord, am telling you, you do take the lulav on Shabbos. Why would you think you don't? Muksa, because muksa is derabbanan.
Is it even muksa if there's very clearly a purpose?
That's a legitimate question, but we don't even need to ask that question because muksa is derabbanan. So the Torah doesn't hold of muksa. I mean, that's a funny way to say it, right? But the Torah is not addressing muksa. It can't, because muksa was an invention of the rabbis. Now, of course, it's a fence, and we discussed yesterday the three different possibilities for how muksa was instituted. It's a very valuable din. But it doesn't change the fact that it can't be that the Torah entertained the possibility that you wouldn't take a lulav on Shabbos because of some kind of isra muksa that the Rabbanan are going to create later in the future. Can't be. So why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell you, b'yom afilu b'Shabbos, that you have to take lulav on Shabbos? Why in the world would you have thought that you don't? Good question, no? Tiltul ba'almuhu. It's just moving muksa in general. It's not, what are you talking about? It's darich kra lemishre. Tiltul? Do you need a pasuk to permit you to move muksa? So the Gemara moves away from it or answers it. I don't know. What does the Gemara do? I'm a Rava. Rava said, Loi nitzricha ela lemachshire lulav. It's only necessary for what's called machshire lulav. You want to take a guess what that means, machshire lulav? What are machshirin?
Mechanics.
Machshirin are mechanics? Nah. When you say that something is machshir something else, what does that mean?
Support.
Well, what does kosher mean? Okay, ready? Who knows what kosher means?
I thought it was like its own word. Supervised. Like strictly kosher.
Strictly kosher.
Kosher.
What makes something kosher?
Split hooves. Long's gotta be good.
Right? All my fish have split hooves.
Yeah.
So the answer just depends on what it is. Correct. If it's an animal, then it's got to have those simanim. If it's a bird, then you got to know what kind of bird it is. If it's a fish, then it's got to have fins and scales. Right? It just depends on what it is. So what makes something kosher?
It's
whatever Torah says.
So yeah, could be a lot of different details. So when we say that something is kosher, it means it's identified as the proper species, number one, if it's one of those things. And other than that, it also, let's say that you have something completely kosher. An animal is kosher. But, you know, it wasn't shechted. It was shot. So despite the fact that the identity of the thing is kosher, it's not kosher because of the way that it was killed. Let's say it was killed properly, had shechita, but it was cooked with pig. Again, it's not kosher. So when we say that something is kosher, it means not only is the object identified as a kosher species in whichever way, but additionally, everything that's gone into its preparation is appropriate. Yeah? So everything that's gone into its preparation, in addition to the identification of the object, is all appropriate. So when we say that there is something called machshirin, machshirin, lahakir would be to recognize. Lachshir, different. So it means that everything that's gone into it has been done appropriately. So here when we're talking about machshirin for something, it means everything that goes into the preparation of the item. So when we talk about machshirin or machshir for lulav, it means the way that you derived it, where it came from. Anything that was done to produce it was all done, you know, appropriately. So the word machshirin, when it comes to machshirei mila, machshirei lulav, anything like that, means anything that was preparatory, anything that produced it for you. So when we say that, again, back in the Gemara says that there's no reason, there is no way that the Torah says, FYI, you're allowed to take, you're obligated to take lulav on Shabbos if it's the first day of Sukkot. We have Maharishayin even if it's Shabbos. Why? Because it's muksa? That's ridiculous. Can't be. Torah doesn't have muksa in that way. So then what does it mean? So Gemara answers, is talking about, Rava answers, is talking about machshirin. That whatever is necessary to produce the lulav is allowed on Shabbos. What does that mean? How do you get it? You cut it off a tree. Are you allowed to cut things off of trees on Shabbos? No. That would be a violation of Koitzer, probably, because you want the lulav. So how could you be allowed to do that on Shabbos? You can't. Amar Rava, leinitzrich ela lemachshirei lulav. It's necessary to teach you that anything which is necessary to produce your lulav is mutter, is allowed. What? Valiva de Haitana. And it's according to this particular Tana, this Tana as we learn in Ebraisa. Lula v'chomach shirav doichin es Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. A lulav, meaning in and of itself, which of course, v'chomach shirav, and anything which is done to produce it, doichin es Shabbos, pushes off Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So what does that mean? What does he hold? Take it? Use it?
Cut it off the tree?
You, of course I'd like to do the mitzvah. What's the problem? It's muksa.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You're reinforcing.
No, that's what the Gemara just said. There's no such thing as muksa deraisa, at least in that way. Maybe there is some kind of muksa deraisa. Okay, that's a separate discussion. Is there any type of muksa that is deraisa? But the Gemara assumes here. Anything to produce it. Meaning even cutting it off the tree is mutter. If you don't have a lulav, and the only way to get it is by cutting it off of a palm tree on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer says, that's mutter!
Why can't you do the same thing with tefillin?
Cut it off the tree?
Kill the cow.
Kill the cow and make tefillin on Shabbos? Yeah. There's no mitzvah tefillin on Shabbos.
Specifically, is it
just when you have a mitzvah to do, right? So not only are you allowed to do the mitzvah, says Rabbi Eliezer, but you're allowed to do whatever is necessary to produce it.
But that, could you
the Torah says, "B'yom hashishi v'heichinu es asher yaviu." When it comes to the month, the Torah says, "On the sixth day, you have to prepare whatever you're gonna have for Shabbos." Well, so that's a question. What exactly does it mean? How far does it go? When we speak of muksa, so I mentioned to you, there are different categories. There are things that are sticks and stones outside that nobody ever had in mind they were ever gonna use for Shabbos. There are things that are food, which we assume is not muksa at all because you have in mind, you never know, you may want to eat it. And you have things more in the middle, which are some things that are kalim, they're vessels typically used for things that are prohibited, but because they have permissible uses, so then it depends on how you're relating to it. If you don't need it, you have to treat it like muksa. But if you do need it or you need its location, the spot that it's occupying, so then you'd be allowed to treat it like it's not muksa for those purposes, you'd be allowed to move it because it's defined as a kli. So those are the general three categories that are midirabbanan. If something is really out of the purview of man, you know, then that's a little bit of a question. You know, is there any element of muksa that's really doraisa? Yeah, it's a discussion in the poskim. I don't know if it like really chapsani nafkamin is la'aloch. So the assumption is, as our Gemara says, that tiltal balmo, these the categories of this muksa is not an issue over here. Not an issue. So how could it be that the Torah says, Bayoim afilu b'Shabbos? What does it need to tell? Why would you think you can't shake a lulav? The answer is no one ever thought you can't shake a lulav on Shabbos d'oraisa. So what's it coming to tell you, to teach you? It's coming to teach you that you're allowed to even cut it off the tree. Lulav v'chomach shirav. That is according to Rabbi Eliezer. My time in Rabbi Eliezer, why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that you're allowed to do that, to even cut it off a tree? Amar kra, because the pasuk says, Bayoim afilu b'Shabbos. That's exactly what Bayoim teaches you, is that it means every day, that's the first day you take lulav and eshig, no matter what it takes to get it, even if it means cutting it off of the tree. That's how he learns. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan, who paskin very much not like Rabbi Eliezer, absolutely not. If you have to make sure you have your lulav before Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut it off on Shabbos. No way, Chose! Rabbanan, so what are they doing with a pasuk? Hi, Bayoim Avdilei, this word Bayoim, what do they do with it? Mivoilei, they need it for the following drasha. Bayoim Shlomo Veloy Balayla. The mitzvah of lulav is only during the daytime, it's not at night. Well, everyone agrees about that. Everyone knows that. Rabbi Eliezer. That the mitzvah is applicable in the daytime and not at nighttime. How does he know that then? Nafka lay. What does nafka lay mean? Good. What does it mean?
To go out.
Nafka lay. He learns it out. Misefa dekra. What's a seifa? The end of the pasuk. What does the end of the pasuk say? You don't have to know it. Baal Peh, the Gemara tells us, "V'samachdem lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamin," that you take the lulav and the esrog and the adasim and the aravis and you rejoice before Hashem, your Lord, for 7 days. It says days again.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
We don't, but like grammatically speaking, we don't say like a week is 7 days, but a week is also 7 nights. We only say 7 days. It doesn't mean
right.
It's not 7 nights. So how would this prove a point that it's only for the daytime?
Well, because the answer to your question is, how do you say day and how do you say day in Hebrew? How do you say daytime and how do you say day?
Yom
means... So how do we ever know?
I don't know. It's
like day.
Oy.
It's not like a. I get that they could do that as a proof, but it's not like a concrete. That's not a concrete.
When we talk about Noah, when we talk about Moshe and Marcina, don't we say 40 days and 40 nights specifically?
Yes.
I guess that's why we just.
So we don't have, I guess, Hebrew.
So let's do it this way. Let's do it this way. Let's try to work backwards with our Gemara and figure out how Chazal looked at it. The question is, when you find the word Bayoim in a Pasuk, does it mean daytime? Or does it mean day including night? What's the default, right? That's your question? What's the default? Do we assume that day means day and night? Or do we assume that day means daytime? And you have to prove it one way or the other. So what do we know so far? We know that it says, Bayoim harishayin. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamin. So we don't know which way to go on the word yoim. Does it mean daytime? Or does it mean day including night? So, okay, so what is the Gemara? Let's try to extract this information from the Gemara itself. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Eliezer, how does Rabbi Eliezer know they only take the lulav in the daytime and not at night? Well, what did the Rabbanan say? The Rabbanan said that's what it means by Yoim HaRishon.
Okay.
So I guess as a starting point, we'll assume the Rabbanan understand by Yoim to mean daylight. Vayeravayvoiker, I guess that doesn't really help us. There is something called boiker, but that's early in the morning. Yoim echad, yoim sheini. So erev and boiker, that means day and night, are both yom. So the very beginning of Bereishis seems to imply that yom refers to day and night together. Right?
Yeah.
So let's see. So far it looks like the Rabbanan seem to assume that Bayoim means specifically daytime and not at night. Rabbi Eliezer, how does he know that? He uses the word Bayom to mean every day, even if it's Shabbos. So how does he know there's no mitzvah lulav at night? So the answer is, Nafkalei Misefer Dekura. He learns out from the end of the pasuk. So the end of the pasuk is, Smachin L'Hashem Elokeichem Shabbos Yomim. So what does that mean? Yomim v'loy leilois. It means day and not night. So how does he know that? In other words, both of them seem to, unless there's something playing off of something else. On the surface, it seems that both of them are learning that when the pasuk says yomim, you have to assume it means daytime until proven otherwise. It may mean night, but you have to prove that. And we'll try to go a little bit farther in the Gemara and see if that becomes clearer when we play this off of Sukkah and off of Miluim.
So like the general understanding of the word Yom is daytime unless otherwise specified?
That's what seems to come out of the Gemara.
Right.
Maybe the best reason for that is because when it comes to mitzvos, you have to make sure, you have to go to Chumrah. So if you find the word day, and it could mean limited to daylight, so you don't have a choice until proven otherwise, you have to assume it's only daylight because you don't know for sure night. You want to make sure you're Yotze. Now, of course, it's all going to be included in Tarsha Baal Peh. This is all showing how you see it in Tarsha Bichsav. Like I pointed out to you, that whole story I like to tell you from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was at Olamaro, he saw Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what Rabbi Akiva was teaching. And finally, Rabbi Akiva says, oh, that's Halacha Moshe Misina, and Moshe Rabbeinu feels better.
How does Gemara talk about Hanukkah without saying is there a Gemara on Hanukkah?
A little bit, Shabbos, yeah.
So would it talk about how does it say about lighting the menorah and stuff? Does it say you should light it on this day or does
problem
it
is there you don't have a pasuk.
What?
That's the problem. There you don't have any Tarsha B'Chsav. So there are two things going on over here. One thing is that there definitely is, as you know, pardes. Pshat, remez, drash, and sod. There are four ways to approach any pasuk in Torah. We're, of course, utilizing drash. So there is a whole science to how to read the Torah in that way, to extrapolate halacha and to see halacha in the Torah. But at the same time, what I'm trying to point out is that everyone ultimately agrees. And the Gemara spells that out. Both Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer both agree that the mitzvah of lulav is only during the day.
Yeah.
The only question is, how do you see it in the psukim? And if you can't see it in the psukim, it's still the Tarsha Baal Peh. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, but there is a science to this. So the Gemara says, he learns it out because it says Shivas Yomim in the pasuk. And since you are rejoicing in front of Hashem, your Lord, for 7 days, there he learns that's the word days that refers to Yomim v'loy leilos, v'rabbanan. So now the Rabbanan have a problem, because now it says days twice. It says Bayom HaRishayin, and then it says Shivas Yomim. You don't need it twice. Imei Hasam, if we would extrapolate it from Shivas Yomim, if from there, literally, Hava Amina, I would have thought, Leilif Yomim, Yomim Me Sukkah. We would have learned out a Gzeri Shava to Sukkah. Why all of a sudden are they going to learn out Gzeri Shava to Sukkah? Because they have the word Yomim twice. So the first time, had we had it only once, would have meant daylight, daytime, and not night. The second time, what's it doing there? I don't need it twice. The answer is that's the Torah. That would have been the Torah telling you, don't make a mistake. When I told you days the first time, but Yom Rishon, you would have thought I meant only daytime and not nighttime. I'm saying it twice to let you know it means nighttime too. Why? Where does it ever mean that? It means that for sure by Sukkah. By Sukkah, we know, and we're not going to get into that too, how do you know? By Sukkah, we know that day means day and night. So here you have the word day doubled. You have it twice. So the second time is to teach you to connect it to the daytime by Sukkah.
Is there also a double in Sukkah?
So we'll get to that in a minute. How does Gemara know it from Sukkah? We'll get to that in a minute. Mala halan yomim afilu leila. It's just like by Sukkah, it means day, means even night. Avkan nami yomim afilu leila. It would have meant also here day, and included in that is night. Okay, so how does this work? Rabbi Eliezer learns by Yom HaRishon means every single day that's Yom HaRishon, even if that Yom HaRishon is Shabbos. The Rabbanan say, no, it's not true, because that's talking about Machshirin. And we do not hold you're allowed to cut a lulav off of a tree on Shabbos. So then what does it mean by Yom HaRishon? It's to teach you day and not night. Okay, that's fair. Everyone, that is true. How does Rabbi Eliezer see that in the Pesukim? Our answer is because that it says later, Shivas Yomim. you take your lulav and esrig and hadas and aravah 7 days. So that means days and not night. What do Rabbanan do with that? So what's the Gemara's answer? What is the Gemara's answer? If we would have learned it from that, then we would have connected it to Sukkah. Okay? So maybe that's what it. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. How did the Gemara answer this? Any clue? So what's the Gemara saying then? Say in a chanam. What do you mean, imi hasam?
Doesn't
Hasan
mean there?
Yeah, if it had been from the pasuk of Samachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shaves Yomim, we would have thought to connect that to Sukkah. Okay, so maybe that's right. What? So in a Chanami, well, you still haven't explained why you have it twice. The first time means day and night, and the second time. Say the Rabbanim, well, if we would learn it from there, then we would have connected it to the Sukkah. So connect it to Sukkah. What's the problem? Rashi doesn't say anything, does he? What do you say? Any idea?
Where are we going exactly?
Okay, so what happened in the Gemara Shaka Vatari is you have machlekes here over what the word bayoim harishon, specifically the word bayoim, indicates. Rabbi Eliezer says it means bayoim every day that is the first day, even if it's Shabbos. The Gemara said, what do you mean? Because muksa is a problem, daraisa? And I said, no. It means machshirin. You can even cut the lulav off the tree if you don't have one on Shabbos, which is the first day of Sukkot. The Rabbanan do not agree with that in principle at all. And the Rabbanan said, there's no way that the Torah is allowing you machshirin for lulav on Shabbos. It means that it's only a mitzvah during the day and not at night. So the Gemara says, oh, that's a good point. Lulav is only during the day. How does Rabbi Eliezer know that? Or at least how does he see in the Psukim? So the Gemara answers, because he has another pasuk at the end that says, "Usamachnu Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yomim." You rejoice with your bouquet for 7 days, days and not night. Okay, so now he uses the word bayom twice. The first time bayom appears, he says it means bayom afilu Shabbos. The second time bayom appears, it means to tell you only during the day and not at night. But the Rabbanan have the word bayom twice. Because the first time bayom comes up, they say it means day and not night. And the second time, they say, well, if we learn it from there, then we would have thought that it's also at night. Because then we would have connected it to Sukkah. Okay. So connect it to Sukkah. What's the problem?
With regard to Shavu Shivai Yomim, that thing, is that what you're saying? Like that's the...
Yeah. Right. Yomim. And then the Gemara is going to discuss in a minute how you know the Yomim by Sukkah means even night. But let's assume that for now. Let's assume by Sukkah that Yomim refers to day and night. So how did the Gemara answer for the Rabbanon? Rabbanon, we seem to have created a bigger problem for ourselves than we answered.
It seems like they're just contradicting themselves, so that's why. Because they're saying that Yomim means days, but then they're saying, but we have in Sukkah, it says Yomim, but we do both day and night.
Right. So it seems like all things being equal, bayom means only day and not night. By Sukkah's exception. So if we would learn it from Usamachtam L'Shem Elokeichem Shivas Yamim, then we would have learned to connect lulav to Sukkah.
But then that means that it would be day and night.
Right. So lulav would be day and night. So therefore you have to learn from the first bayom that it means day and not night. Because if you learn from the second one, then we would have connected it to Sukkah.
Yeah, but they used the second one to prove the
so connect it to Sukkah.
The whole reason why they brought this Machta and the whole Pasuk was to say that it means day only, but then now that it's saying that if you use that Pasuk, it connects you
which means that it would be day and night.
Yes, but what do you do with that pasuk? That's the problem. So you have two bayoms by you.
Not use it as proof.
Well, then what is it telling you? Nothing? What's it there for? What is it there for? So, I don't know. It's a good question. Could be, this needs to be worked out better than this, but it could be that what the Gemara is ultimately saying is that it goes back to the default question. What is the default, you know? Yeah. So when the Rabbanon have two bayoims, the second bayoim they're expecting to connect to the sukkah for whatever reason. So that would mean that bayoim means day and night. But then why do you have lukachtam lachem bayoim harishon? And bayoim harishon, how do you read that too? Is bayoim harishon meaning a limitation? Or is it including something else? So according to Eliezer, bayoim harishon is including something. It's including Shabbos. According to the Rabbanon, it's excluding something. Specifically night. So because they learn it as an exclusion, it seems that they learn that even though there's another pasuk, and had that been the only pasuk we would have, we would have connected it to sukkah, because both sukkah and lulav are part of your rejoicing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu for 7 days. So in other words, if you'd only talk about bayom relative to your lekichas halulav, if you're only talking about the action of taking your lulav, it says, v'lekachtem lachem bayom arishayim. So then, maybe it means only the day. But usmachtem lifnei Hashem alekechem shivas yamim, part of your simcha lifnei Hashem includes the sukkah. So we would have made the connection between the two if that's the pasuk we would focus on. But because we don't just have that pasuk of usmachtem lifnei alekechem, we also have a specific bayom by lulav, and the Rabbanan learn that bayom, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that's inclusive. They learn it to be exclusive. So it excludes and it focuses on just the day and not the night. That at least is an argument, at least to make some sense out of the Gemara. Okay. So then the Gemara says, V'sukkah gufa min alam. Sukkah itself, how do you know sukkah is applicable at night? Maybe sukkah is only during the day. Because again, it's the same problem. It says yamim, right? D'tani Rabbanan, as we learned in the Braisa, V'sukkah stage, shivas yamim. You're supposed to dwell in a sukkah for 7 days. Yamim afilu leilais. Days and even nights. Ata oimer, you say yamim afilu leilais. You say days means days and even nights. Oyena ele yamim veleilais. Or maybe it means days and not nights. So that's the Gemara's, that's the Braisa's way of asking a question. So Braisa says, we have a drasha here, and I'm telling you it means day and night. How do you know? How do you know it means day and night? Maybe it only means day and not night. So the Gemara, the Braisa answers, vidin hu. Do you know what that means, vidin hu? Yeah, but it means more than that. That's a code word for a kal v'chomer.
It's referring to what
we
just said.
It's really a code word for a kal v'chomer. Dinhu means, and it's a judgment, a certain type of judgment that means if it's true in one case, for sure it's true in this case. It's a kal v'chomer. Ne'mar kan yomim, v'ne'mar belulav yomim. It says by sukkah yomim, and it says by lulav yomim. Ma'ala halan yomim v'leleilais. Just like over there by lulav, it means days and not nights. For the reason that we just described according to the Rabbanan. Because it says, according to the Rabbanan anyway, it says bayom twice. One by simcha and one by lulav itself. So that tells you that it's only specific during the day and not at night. So that's how we learned it out by lulav, okay? Avkan yamim v'leilais. So here too, why don't we say the same thing? That it means day and not night. Or kalicha derech zu, go to this way. Ne'mar kan yamim, v'ne'mar b'miluim yamim. It says by sukkah yamim, and it says by the miluim yamim. Miluim Shivas Yimei Amiluim. Wow, unbelievable. We're in the Shivas Yimei Amiluim right now. The 7 days before the Mishkan was put up is right now. Right? The 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. First day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, all the Nisim started bringing all of their karbanos. We right now are in the 7 days of the Miluim. We're right before Nisan, right? So this is Mamish. Like I always tell you, the Torah is alive. So the Torah is speaking to his Mamish right now. So the Miluim, you can compare it to the Miluim, because by the Miluim it says, Yamim. What does it say, Yamim, by the Miluim? So if you have one of these fancy Gemaras, so it says, U'pesach oyal moyed teishuvu. We'll come back to that in a minute. You shall sit at the opening of the oyal moyed, Yomam v'layla, day and night. So there it says Yomam v'layla. You see that? Shivas yamim, for 7 days. Well, obviously 7 days means day and night, because it just said yom v'layla. So there it's clear, by the miluim, in no uncertain terms. It's spelled out, yomam v'layla shivas yamim.
But that proves our point for lua, not for sukkah.
Yes, we're getting sukkah in 1 second. We don't know what to compare it to. But here you see that sometimes the word yamim definitely means day and night. That's clear from the pasuk by the miluim. But the question is, what if you only have the word yamim and it doesn't say yom v'layla? Okay, so then maybe it only means the daytime. Or maybe we should compare it. I don't know what to do, says the Gemara. So the Braisa. Okay, so the Braisa said, we find the word yamim by sukkah, and you find the word yamim by lulav, and you find the word yamim by the miluim. So by lulav, we already demonstrated, according to both Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer, each one according to their own approach, and there may be differences between the two, that yamim by lulav means only day and not night. By miluim, yamim means day and night. And now you have yamim by sukkah. Which way do you go? So that's what the Gemara says. Or you should go according to this path. Nemar kan yamim and nemar miluim yamim. It says here by sukkah yamim, and it says by the miluim yamim. Mala halan, just like, right? You know the ma'af, right? Ma'af, that's our kal v'chomer, right? Just like this, so to this. Mala halan yamim, just like over by the miluim yamim. Afilu leilos means even night. Afkan, so to hear by sukkah, yamim, vafilu leilos, and even night. So that's a problem. That's just a Braisa setup of the problem. Do you compare it to lulav, or do you compare it to miluim? Braisa answers, nira lemi doime. Let us see to what it is comparable. So here's a problem. Whenever you want to compare things, you have to figure out what is the best common denominator. You're going to compare apples and oranges? The answer is yes. They're both fruit. They're both round. Apples and elephants are much harder to compare. So where do you have a good comparison? Where do you have a tzad shaveh? Is there a greater comparison between sukkah and lulav? Or is sukkah and miluim? So you'll say, well, sukkah and lulav are sukkahs. what's your question? So we'll see how the Gemara says.
What is miluim?
Hmm?
What's miluim?
Miluim were the 7 days of inauguration, preparation, chinuch almost, getting the Mishkan ready.
Oh, that's what you said written right now?
Yeah, okay. So the days that Moshe Rabbeinu was got to be the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was getting everything ready and getting Aaron, bringing certain korbanos for those 7 days before the Mishkan was actually erected for real and the Kohanim took over. There were these 7 days of like inauguration or maybe it's not the right word, almost like a preparation, like a chinuch, to get it to then function on Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the first time. So let us see to what it is similar, what's comparable to. Danin davar shemitzvaso kol hayom, midavar shemitzvaso kol hayom. Let us judge or compare a thing whose mitzvah is all day, even if all day means daytime, but it's an extended period of time all day. Midavar from a thing shemitzvaso kol hayom, from something which its mitzvah is all day. And it should not prove it, davar a thing, shemitzvah so sha'a achas, whose mitzvah is only for a moment. Right? The word sha'a means like an hour, but in Chazal, the word sha'a just means a moment. Is that very interesting, nafkamina? Does anybody here wait after they have milchiks before they have fleshiks? So there's a zayar like this that says you're not allowed to eat milchiks and fleishiks b'sha'a chadita. It says terrible things about a person that eats milchiks and fleishiks b'sha'a chadita at one sha'a. Yeah, so that's the question. What does sha'a mean? So some people learn sha'a means an hour. And there are those that wait an hour between milchiks and fleishiks.
So this is
wash your mouth out, like wait 15 minutes now.
So that would be that you don't hold of this sha'a, right? It means at the same moment. So within the same achila, or in the same moment, whatever that means in that context, that would be the other way to look at it. And there are proofs that that's what it means. It means the same moment. Not necessarily does it mean the same hour. But there are those that have that minig to wait a specific amount of time for that reason.
So if you're Dutch, you mean an hour both ways.
Yeah. If you're Dutch, you got all kinds of issues. All right, anyway. So
that's
a separate issue altogether. Hard cheese is a minig that goes back to one of the Balei HaTosfos, the Maharam, because apparently he once ate hard cheese, and then later on, he was eating fleishis, discovered the hard cheese still stuck to his teeth. So he made basically a minig for all of his Talmidim and his circles that he said you should wait 6 hours after hard cheese, just like fleishis. Just like pieces of meat and oils get stuck in your mouth and are in your mouth up to 6 hours later, so do hard cheese get stuck in your mouth just the same? So he instituted that minig. They didn't have toothbrushes like we have. What? It either loses all of its flavor and it's not considered anything after the 6 hours. You know, you take a piece of meat that's stuck in your teeth after 6 hours, it's not really so gishmak anymore. You'll eat it. If you swallow a piece of meat after 6 hours, you discover it there, you probably do become fleishig again. You should spit it out.
Even if it's that small?
Yeah. 160. Anyway. Maybe not after 6 hours. I don't know. We got to double check on the halacha about that one. But in any case, so the Gemara says, let's compare something whose mitzvah is extended over the day to something else whose mitzvah is extended over the day, and not to something whose mitzvah is momentary. What mitzvah is momentary? Lulav. You pick it up and you're done. Sukkah is at least the whole day. We just want to know if it applies at night. What about miluim? What's the mitzvah of miluim? So Rashi points out that it was all day. How do you know? Because the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, you guys have to be in the oil moyed the whole day. You know, maybe it means day, not night. What?
The original pasuk says yom ha'layla.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a minute. But the point, the only thing we care about for now is that let us compare it to something whose mitzvah is extended over the day, as opposed to a mitzvah which is momentary. So Gemara says, well, then what are you going to compare it to? Obviously, miluim. And by miluim, what does yom mean, as you just pointed out? Day and night. So then sukkah also should be day and night. Or maybe there's another way to compare it, apples and oranges. Kalech lederech zu. Let's go to this approach. Danin davar shemitzvasa ledoyrois. Mi davar shemitzvasa ledoyrois. Let us compare it to something whose mitzvah is for all generations. To something else's mitzvah is all generations. As opposed to miluim. Va'al yochichu miluim. Miluim should not prove it. Sheinoyagin ledoyrois. Because it is not applicable for all generations. It's a one-time in history thing. The Gemara answers, Talmud Loimar comes to teach us, Teshavu, Teshavu, L'gzera Shava. We would not know how to go had it just been for the word Yomim. We would be at a loss to know how to compare our apples and oranges. Do you go and compare what? What are the two approaches? Something whose mitzvah is extended to something whose mitzvah is extended? Or something whose mitzvah is Ladoros to something whose mitzvah is Ladoros? I wouldn't know where to go. So the Gemara says that's why it says Teshuvu. Basuka is Teshuvu, Shivas Yamim, and Pesach Yomed Teshuvu.
What do you mean for
Bible? Miluim is not applicable for all generations. It was a one-time mitzvah when the Mishkan was inaugurated.
And then
doesn't apply anymore.
Is just because they didn't generations.
Yeah, so maybe you shouldn't compare a mitzvah that was a one-time in history thing. Sukkah, you can compare it to Miluim, is one time in history. But on the other hand, it's a mitzvah who's extended the whole day. Lulav is applicable bizman hazeh, today even, in all generations. But on the other hand, it's momentary. It says that maybe the yomim over there only means in the daytime because it's momentary. But if it's something that you could be in at night also, maybe you should extend it. So the Gemara doesn't know how to go. There's no way to conclude. So the Gemara says, that's why. Talmud Lomar, that's why it says teshvu. It says, it's gzera shava. The word teshvu appears by sukkah, basukos, teshvu, shivas yomim. And by miluim, it says, Pesach Oyel Moyed Teshuvu. You shall sit or dwell at the opening of the Oyel Moyed, Yoimam Velayla Shivas Yamim, day and night for 7 days. Teshuvu, Teshuvu, L'gzei Rishavah. Nemar Kan Teshuvu. It says, here by Sukkah, Teshuvu. Nemar by miluim, and it says, by the miluim, Teshuvu. Malahalan yamim afilu leilois, just like by miluim means day and night. Avkan yamim, so to hear the word yamim means afilu leilois, even the nights. So what comes out at the end of the Albert, according to our question? Is there a default for the word yamim, or is there not a default for the word yamim? Sounds like there's not, because if there were, then we'll just say, well, that's the default. What do you need to compare it to anything to? So the answer seems to be, there isn't. Yamim could mean either way, and there's going to have to be something to indicate to us which way to go. So according to the Rabbanan, when it comes to lulav, what indicates it to us is that it's repeated, and it's repeated by lulav specifically by the lakachtem as a mi'ut, as an exclusion. So that's how they know it, according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, only says it once. So how does Rabbi Eliezer know that it means? So that's a little more tricky. Okay, but the world of drushos are a little bit complicated, that is for sure. At the end of the day, it's all there. Even when we know the Tarsha Baal Peh, it's there to sort of show us how you see the Tarsha Baal Peh and the Tarsha.
So this whole thing is basically
Yom.
Of Yom.
Yeah. And figure out.
Generations versus the time of the inauguration.
By Sukkah, since you have the word Bayom, Sukkah's Teshu Shivas Yomim. So that word Yomim is daytime or all day including night. So it says, well, do you compare it to Lulav, which is only in the daylight? Or do you compare it to Miluim, which is even night? What does the word Yomam mean?
Wait, what do you mean Miluim by night?
Miluim. There was an instruction to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron, to all the people then, that they have to stay in the Oil Moyed
day and night.
Day and night.
So if it's saying Lila, then it's also referring to Moonim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If night's included in the word day, so then it's going to be learned from a comparison to the Miluim, which the Gemara says ultimately it is, but not because of the word Yomam or your Yomim. It's because of Xer Shava Teshu Teshu. Because had it been just for the word Yomam or Yomim, so then we would not know which direction to go because it's different in each particular halacha.